for a mu'min, for a believer, his life, the purpose of his life, his objective, the focal point of his life, the essence of his life, is only this, that Allah Ta'ala has sent him to this world, the mu'min, and he should just do one task. And that task is to prepare for his departure. In other words, prepare for his death. Apart from this, there's no other duty for a mu'min. There should be no other action for a believer. Because everything, all preparation is for the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala, all the life He has given to us, that length of time He has given to us. In this life, every moment, if we for this purpose start preparing for this objective, then alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, He has attained the world and He has attained the hereafter. In His path, all the tests that come, obstacles that come, barriers that come, we're in this world, they are tests, they are challenges. But all those challenges and barriers and obstacles, whatever form they come in, whatever type they are, sickness, difficulties, worries, distress, poverty, all of these things for a human being are a test, which to show that does this person, with regards to his preparation, does he come off track or is he focused on the path? A mu'min woman and a mu'min man, their duty is not to worry about the obstacles that come on the way. Just consider, for example, you know, sometimes there's a fly comes towards you and you swat it away. A wasp comes towards you, you swat it away. Same way, consider the obstacles of the world. Just swat them away. The real purpose and objective of a Muslim's life should be this. Day and night we see in the world, people are departing from this world. Yes, that my Hazrat Sahib Nur al-Marqad, a beautiful statement, and he wrote this in the final letter to me. After that, he did not remain in this world, my Shaykh. His final letter that he wrote to me, in that letter, Allahu Akbar, a unique statement he put in that letter. And he said that life is temporary, and the luggage is temporary, and everything in the world is temporary. If there's one thing which will be useful, beneficial, and even that's not hidden. Rather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just tell us, he announced this fact. And what is that? He said, good deeds, righteous deeds, amalus salihat, good deeds. If we focus on this point, and all the points, whispering and distractions, eating, drinking, children, wife, family, all of these things, this is not the reality of life. These are all temporary things. Have you ever seen that person who is leaving this world, that does he take anything from this world with him? The person, he has so much sadness for the world. When his eyes open, he's worried, oh, this is mine, that is mine, oh, I lost this and this is mine. As soon as the last breath is pulled out of his body, he doesn't remember any of those things. He doesn't even imagine those things of the world. So can there be anything more temporary than this, tell me? The dunya, and our whole life focal point objective is based on this. I'm worried about these things. And for this reason, a person, he lives in this world, and those deeds, those amal, he keeps on rejecting and leaving and delaying, which will really give him the benefit in the hereafter that he should prepare for. And the preparation for the hereafter, so unique statement here, our deen is so great. What great treasures Allah has given to us, blessings Allah has given to us. Our deen, our way of life. Allah has given us Quran. He's given us a hadith. And if we see Allah has created such great human beings, He sent them to this world so they could explain to us such kitabs that were written, published, just for this reason, so that we can prepare for our hereafter. But, one thing is so easy that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Such a simple thing that no man... Okay, fine, you can't read Quran. Okay, you're not able to practice other things. But one action Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتَقِي أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ Subhanallah. That, oh my beloved, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've made your tongue, your statements so beloved, your words, your speech is so beautiful, so eloquent, such beautiful lips you have that whenever they move, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such beautiful and great statements will come out of your mouth. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such beautiful and excellent words. Because it's not you who speaks. It's me who lets you speak, says Allah. It's not for you to speak. It's not your desires that speak. Every word of yours is so precious, so valuable. One word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person grabs hold of his words and follows his words, subhanallah, on one word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just does he become a proper human being, rather he will save himself from hellfire and he will enter into paradise by following the words of one word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the noble companions, this was their style. This was their style. They would come and they wouldn't ask lengthy questions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said one thing, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there any advice for us? Subhanallah. They didn't ask for lengthy statements, no verse of the Quran, no tafsir, no commentary, nothing. Nothing. Even the nomad, illiterate person who has come from the rural areas, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Sunni, please advise me. Please give me some advice. That's it. That's all they would ask for. Now the person who's asking and the one who's telling, they had such a great understanding, compatibility amongst each, such a great understanding, that the person who's hearing his question, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companion saying that, please, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me nasiha. Then 100% he had a yaqeen, he was a companion, that from his nasiha, there's only one objective, that my companion wants to go from Jahannam towards paradise. He is not requesting me that he wants the world, the dunya. He's not asking me for advice for this, or this is hard for me, or do dua for me, or do this for me, or do that for me. And then the personality who they're asking, imagine, he could have asked for dua from the Prophet, could he not? That please do dua for me, I don't have children, I don't have money, my business is not flourishing, or please, if the hands were raised then for the dua, alhamdulillah, they would have raised. But the sahaba, the person, the sahabi would ask for such a thing that if he was to attain that thing which he was asking for, then he had got everything. So they weren't worried about secondary things. Those faqirs, they were true beggars, the sahaba. Unique human beings they were. They knew what to ask for. They knew how to get the objective. So when they asked for nasiha, Ya Rasulullah, please give us advice, then the door of rahmah, mercy would open such, subhanallah, that the master of the two worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would look at his companion, that budu, that person from the ruling, he wouldn't just look at answering him. Rather, he knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his answer was for the whole ummah until qiyamah. That whoever hears and understands my reply and accepts it, then he will attain falah, success. Subhanallah. And then the sahabi, after they heard this, they said, that's it, you've told us the advice, okay, end of story, I won't do more than this, I won't do less than this. Then from behind the answer would come, that if anyone wants to see a person of paradise, then look at this, my companion who's just left. So brothers, these words did not end there. The difference between them and us is today, what's the difference? If we look, the difference between the sahaba and us is that we today, we are very keen on listening. We have so much passion for listening. Don't ask. So much passion with interest. We're hearing words and bayans and stories and tales and lengthy explanation and technical points in bayans and grammar. And 0.0 with regards to practice. We'll have big gatherings, but nobody will have near that I want to go and learn and hear something. Then I'll do amal on what I learn. Please forgive me. We are so many here today, aren't we, gathered? But did we make this niyyah before coming here that whatever I learn today, I will practice upon it? Did I make this niyyah today? Tell me the true, honest answer from your heart. Though I'm going to do dhikr today. So brothers, am I mad? Am I stupid that I start speaking in front of you? That do I have time? That we have time to sit here? Oh, it's not my duty that I sit here and I just speak endlessly with you. No, the reason is this. Objective is this. These are not my words. These are the words of he who wrapped himself in the black cloak and sheet. Maybe his words will descend into your heart. Maybe. Maybe such a person who is immersed in wrong, he's seeking good, a woman, a man, a sister, a brother. Yeah, they're not all stupid like us, are they? Maybe there's somebody out there today who wants nasiha. Today, Allah Akbar, the secret has been unraveled. As I said to you, it's nothing about lengthy, oh, read Bukhari Sharif today, Sahih Muslim today, and this hadith, and give me technical explanation. No such issue. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet Muhammad SAW take any nasiha of his, any advice of his. This was his life, that for example, he said that every companion of mine is like a star. He said, whichever star you follow, you will be guided. You will get success. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his words were such that every word of his, every utterance of his, if you embrace it, you've got the right path, the straight path. Subhanallah. So my brothers, we should have one sadness, one grief. Allah, we are living in the era of fitna, disorder, and fitan. We have no passion today, we have no desire today, we don't want to listen today, we have no courage today, we don't work hard today. It's just a game of life. But death will come to everybody. Death is a fact. Allah, what have I done to prepare for death? What is our preparation today for death? What have we done? What preparation have we made for the hereafter? And how have we prepared for the one companion came? Allahu Akbar. And same question. Oh, Sani, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me some advice. Subhanallah. Companion. And they open up their hearts. And whose nasiha is this? Not some mufti sahab. No. Not some muhaqqiq, some commentator. Not Shaykhul Hadith who's given the advice. Whose advice is this? Subhanallah. Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. He's given this advice. For who? For his ummah, for his nation, for his followers, for every ummati. If only we can understand his words. Guaranteed. Today if we do amal on this nasiha, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, all of the doors of the hereafter will open for us. All of the doors of the hereafter. Okay, if something comes in our hands, if we are steadfast on this, that today I heard this advice of the Prophet, as an end of story, that's it. We have nothing else to worry about. Just practice on it. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. That's when we can say that we've done the right thing. So first make niyyah. We're going today. We're going to sit, inshallah, when the merciful Prophet's words come to us and come into our hearts, because they should descend into our hearts. And the lock of the heart is unlocked. The padlock's broken. Then embrace it to your heart. Don't look left and right. Don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to go to gatherings. Just that one nasiha, one statement of the Prophet, just run after it to practice it. That's it. You've got the path. That's it, you got the problem. Then there's nothing to worry about. I'll go there. He will say something. Then I'll understand. There's no time to waste in life, my friends. We don't have time in this day and age. We don't have time in this day and age. Time is short. Time is precious. Remember this. So when the companion requested, O Prophet, give me nasiha, advice, subhanallah, then the ocean of rahmah, mercy came, became alive. And Rasulullah said, oh, my sahabi's come to ask me and he's benefiting my whole ummah. And the Prophet's style was unique, that he never replied with something difficult for his ummah. Always he'd give a very simple formula to his ummah. Very simple path to success that everyone can practice. If you want to practice, you can practice it. If you have that desire. So he asked for nasiha. What nasiha did he request the sahabi? For a shop, business, wife, children, success and what? No. He said, Ya Allah, the companion's knee was what? That Allah, please make the preparation for my death easy so that I can go into paradise laughing and smiling. Do you all have this desire? They were hungry, thirsty, they had problems, they had sadness, they had family problems, children problems. But they weren't worried about those things. They knew that if I take this advice of the Prophet ﷺ and I practice it, then all the other issues in the world will become smooth and easy. Maybe I'll have pilau rice one day and eat. Maybe one day I'll just have boiled egg. The next day I'll just have yogurt to eat. Next day I'll have just dry chapatis to eat, dry bread. Ask those people. We're sat in this world with ease. Majority of the people, those sahaba, that they had onions and they had a dry chapati, they take it out of their pocket, eat, and then they go as laborers and their time passes. There are many people like that in the world today, poor people. Their life passes like this, not just the day. We think one day if I don't get meat, if I don't get chicken, if I don't get the salan that I want or the dishes that I want, then our time won't pass that day. Will be so difficult for us, we'll be in pain. But ask the majority of the people in our ummah who live the lives of poverty in the world, look around you, in our countries, home countries. They have the sugar, they have onion, raw onion, they break it. I've seen it myself. They have dry chapati, they put the dry onion in, they have cold water and they say, Alhamdulillah. All life long, every day, that's their food. The children are crying and the mother, she's grinding the corn, she puts the salt in, a bit of onion in, and she gives that food to the children. The children smile and they're happy. We, Allah has given us a test, a challenge. The more Allah gives us, our stomach's not full. The more He gives us, our stomach's not full. Al-Mun Yazeed, Allah give us more, we want more. Not this, I want this luxury, this delicacy, this luxury. Is it? Allah Ta'ala has given us these ni'mas, then at least be grateful for the ni'mas Allah has given. Don't forget your destination. Don't forget this, Allah has given this to you, Allah is testing you in a certain way, He's given you more. These are all tests as well when Allah gives you more. And if this test that Allah has given to us, if this test, if we pass it, then alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah says, you will enjoy my ni'mas, I'll give you more, and you can prepare for the hereafter. So everyone's challenged. So Allah has given us both opportunities. But what do? We immerse ourselves in the world, the luxuries, and we lose our sight of the track. So the nasiha, the sahabi requested, Ya Rasulullah, please advise me. So the Prophet of Allah gave the answer, listen to this nasiha, you all and me as well. Let's hear this reply. All the complete comprehensive advice, we don't need to go anywhere after we hear this advice. This is with regards to the hereafter. Total guaranteed Jannah, paradise. You will laugh and walk into paradise. Easy death. Death with iman, guaranteed. Guaranteed easy death. Good righteous deeds in your book of deeds. Good namazi. Pray tahajjud. You'll become everything if you practice this nasiha. Subhanallah. Everything you become. A complete mu'min if you start practicing this nasiha. You just need to practice. Don't just listen. You have to practice. Yes? That on the paper of your heart, inscribe this fact. Open the paper of your heart. I'm about to hear something good. You should not have whispering negatives and bad thoughts and doubts, because we're hearing the reply of the Prophet ﷺ in which there's no doubt. No doubt. Who can doubt the Prophet Muhammad? Oh, Mufti Sahib said this, this is his opinion. Okay, fine. But this is the Prophet Muhammad. The Sahib is asking, the companion is asking, requesting advice, and the Prophet is replying, it's not just for you, my companion, it's for the whole Ummah. For the whole Ummah. That's it. So when he asked, the Prophet of Allah replied, one statement, concise, very short and concise reply. He said, Subhanallah. Yes, he took the root, the foundation. He said, it's lazim upon you, on every mu'min, it is essential that if he wants to prepare for death, if he wants paradise, and he wants to be a good Muslim and live the life as a good Muslim, the first thing he should have is what? Khawf of Allah. Yes? Alaykum taqwallah. Khawf, I could say I've got khawf. How will I eat food tonight? How will I pay the bills? How will I run my home? How will I bring the children up? How will I be healthy? We have all these fears, and there are reasons for these fears. This is called panic attack in the world. Have you heard this disease, sickness? Panic attack in the world. Everyone has these panic attacks. These fears are the dirty actions and fears. And Allah says that these fears are within you. This is khawf. Khawf dunya. This is the khawf of the dunya. The person that he becomes more sick with these fears. Distress upon distress. Sadness upon sadness. And it makes him even closer to death. But don't worry about these fears. To end these fears, Allah says replace it with the real fear that you should have inside you. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So these fake, you can say, concerns will also be eliminated. These panic attacks. How will I eat tomorrow? How will I save money? How will I pay the bills? If I lose my job, what will I do next? Oh, we start panicking, sweating. You know, like a bad dream in the night. You can't sleep. Yaar, I've got problems. I've got issues. How shall I reply to this guy? What shall I do here? Subhanallah. But the fear that Rasulullah is prescribing to us, if we bring that into our life, that will eliminate all other fears. You will sleep with ease and comfort. Nobody will say to you, what will happen then? What will happen tomorrow? You'll say, you may have this concern, brother, but I have no worries. No worries. Oh, how will we do this if this happens and that happens? No worries. If Allah has given me today, He will give to me tomorrow as well. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That if Allah has given him the cure to the disease, Allah will give me the cure to the disease. If Allah has made him ill, then Allah will give him the cure as well. So this is the feeling we need. So what's that fear that Rasulullah prescribed? That khawf, alaykum bitaqwallah, is lazim, essential for every mu'min. If that khawf is not in your life, then you'll have panic attacks and that will take you towards your death. All of the fear and the grief of the world will take over you and take you to death. But if you have the fear of the dunya when you arrive to Allah in the akhirah, then you will arrive to the doors of Jahannam. You won't even get near to Allah. So take this first nasiha from Rasulullah. Allah's Nabi said, khawf you should have in your life. Which khawf? Whose fear? Taqwallah, Allah's khawf, the fear of Allah. This is what we need to bring into our lives. Whose fear? Fear of Allah. Don't be worried about anything in the world. What will happen here? Who will do this? What will happen then? This has happened. Nothing will happen. All issues are in the control of who? Everything that occurs in this universe, leaves. Not one leaf can dare to sway from one inch to the other on a tree, cannot even dare to drop from the branch of the tree without Allah's hukam instruction. Not one atom, not one dust particle can move across the air. It's moving with Allah's permission. Yes, even when we sneeze, how can I dare to sneeze? How can my nose dare to sneeze without Allah's instruction and order? Let's go beyond that. If I'm breathing in and then I breathe out, when I breathe in, and my chest goes in, then the breaths ask Allah permission. Allah, shall I breathe out or shall I stop here? Will he die? The angel gives permission, you can breathe out. So breathe out. So who gives the permission for this? Allah gives the permission. But we don't have yaqeen in this. We say, doctor sahab, please, quickly put the stethoscope on my chest and measure my pulse. Measure my pulse. Why? Because we don't fear Allah. We don't fear Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first thing that should be in the heart of the mu'min is taqwa Allah, fear of Allah. Everything in the universe occurs with Allah's permission. We don't have this fear. We don't have this concern. When Allah's fear will come, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said a beautiful point after that. That the sign of a person who has fear of Allah is what? The sign, what will be the change in that person? What will be the improvement in that person? What will be the farak in that person's life? The farak, the difference will be that every action that person will do whilst he's in this world, every action that person will do whilst he's in this world, before he does the action, he will think in his brain cells that this action I'm about to commit, will Allah and his Rasul be disobeyed through this action of mine? Say Subhanallah. So when I'm about to do this action, is this the case that while I do this action, that Allah and His Rasul are being disobeyed while I do this action? Am I going against their wishes? Am I going against Allah's instruction? Tell me, when this fear of Allah comes in the heart of a mu'min, will he commit the sin after that? Tell me. Will he leave salah? Will he stand at his shop at the time of salah? Will he pray salah in the masjid? Imam stood at my shop now. It's salah time. If he's got khawf in his heart, this is why I'm disobeying Allah. It's salah time. Oh, it's time for salah. Immediately he'll put the shutters down, put the shop to the side, because khawf is giving him certainty. The person, Allah the Creator, is going to give rizq. First obey his order, go to the masjid, pray salah, then he'll give you your sustenance, your wealth. Yes, all the people who don't pray salah, all the people who don't pray salah, all the sins we commit, there's a reason behind that. Because inside us there's no passion, no courage. That am I disobeying Allah and His Rasul? We don't have that passion. No concern. To the extent that if you slap a child and stop before you do this, that fear will stop you. I'm about to hit this child. Is this the case that Allah will be unhappy if I beat this child? Think, you'll think. So that fear, due to that fear, your heart will answer, no, this is not the right time. I have to do the right thing here to do Islah of the child. Immediately, the good deed will give you the invitation to stop the bad deed. It will stop you from haram, from bad actions, from bad amal. All bad things, the khawf inside you that Rasulullah prescribed will stop you from bad actions. What a great advice. If a mu'min develops this fear in his heart, say Subhanallah. And all of the case with regards to destruction and sins and bad lifestyle, all the sins we commit in the darkness and the light, we're hiding and sinning with our salah, with dhikr, we've got beards, we've got Islamic appearance, and we commit sins. Why? Because we have no khawf in our hearts of Allah. So Rasulullah gave this first prescription. Forget this drama life, fake life. First fulfill this point. And how do we do this? Yes, and he gave us the gauge, the measurement ruler, that when you start to feel in your heart, your life, that before you do any action, you have this feeling, yaar, ooh, shall I do this business or not? Shall I go to this job or not? Is this job right or wrong? Shall I do this action or not? The answer will come from your heart, that am I disobeying Allah when I do this action? Allah and His Rasul, am I about to disobey them? So much ilm will give, Allah will give to that person. He'll have the knowledge. Every human being, Allah has given the capacity. Yes, that every mu'min has the capacity that if you fear Allah, Allah says, I'll make you the alim yourself. You'll be a scholar. You should have taqwa. Rasulullah said that the alim is here inside your heart. Your heart is the alim. It will give you the reply. He will have the ilm of the khawf of Allah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, so for example, you don't need to learn the extensive fiqh from the kitabs. Rather, what will tell you? Your heart will tell you that what is haram, what is halal. Your heart will tell you what is lawful, what is unlawful. If you have the fear of Allah. Yes, your heart will save you from Jahannam. Allah will instill that ilm into your heart that will save you from hellfire. Experience this, what I'm saying to you. Your hand won't go towards wrong. Your heart won't feel like doing wrong. To this point, you have to tell one, don't do this action, leave this, not good, this is right. But alhamdulillah, when the fear comes in your heart, when taqwa comes in your heart, when Allah's fear comes in your heart, then automatically you'll do those actions. No one will need to remind you. Rather, you'll say to that person, don't do this, my friend. This is not a good thing to do. You will give invitation to people to do the right thing. So do you understand this point now, what I've said now? What is the point? Khawf of Allah we need to bring into our hearts. Now this is not such a commodity, fear of Allah, that you can just get from anywhere. This is such a thing. Allah's fear will open the doors of paradise, the knowledge of Allah. All tazkiyah, tasawwuf, the science of Islam, the subject of Islam, tasawwuf, is based on this one point, fear of Allah. وَمَيَّنْ Yeah, that Rasulullah, he did not speak of his own accord, he said what Allah told him. One word that came from his blessed mouth, the ocean of knowledge would come out. The whole definition of tasawwuf you can put to one side, and this one statement of the Prophet put on one side, taqwa, fear of Allah. The whole of tasawwuf, the message of tazkiyah, purification, reformation, all the salasil, the orders of tasawwuf, all the great awliya, the friends of Allah, behind their lifestyle, you see one common denominator, which is the fear of Allah. Taqwa. Say subhanAllah. Look at the khanka. There's a khanka there. There are students, there are murids. What is it you will see inside the khanka? How is that khanka progressing? Why are the murids gathered? The students of the sheikh? The one point. Fear of Allah is the common denominator. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So me, you, we're gathered here for this purpose as well. You are bayah, you've given your students of a teacher. Your objective is one, to bring fear of Allah into the heart. So how much effort do we need to make for this? Tell me, the one is said, do tazkiyah, purify your hearts. Why don't you do this? Because we don't care. Oh, I prayed salah, I do this and that, I do what I want when I want, etc. This is not the deen of Islam. Deen is total way of life, compact way of life. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, no action should you commit. 24 hours a day, from morning till evening, from waking till sleeping, no action should be done that earns the displeasure of Allah. Just like Ramadan we passed, we fasted until the evening. Every second we thought, we tried, we made effort. I'll give an example in Ramadan. Every effort we made. I don't want to commit a sin. I don't want to spoil my fast. We did this, didn't we? During Ramadan. No, yaar, I'm fasting. I can't do this. No. After fasting, I'll do this. Then the fast, a person put the brakes on. The mu'min total life is like this from morning till evening. He should be very cautious that I don't want to displease my Rabb. This is the objective of life. And such a beautiful formula is given that we have to be very careful. That if your heart is knocking, that oh, if I say this is wrong, then immediately there's a cure. Immediately do istighfar. If you say wrong, say astaghfirullah. Immediately do istighfar. Allah says, okay, fine, I will compensate for that. Don't wait, don't delay. Until the evening, I will repent afterwards. No, a bit of dirt if it comes on your clothes. If you don't clean the stains will grow. And then the stains on the heart will make you depressed. And you'll give up. And you'll have sadness in your life. You'll have depression in your life. Why is my heart black? I just prayed salah. Why is my heart down? I don't know why I'm not feeling good. I've got bad feelings in my heart. Whispers in my heart. The reason for this is that the sins have accumulated on the heart. We've not paid attention. Immediately we should do tawbah after each and every sin. Say subhanAllah. Don't let the sins gather and grow and accumulate. So for this, we need the life of effort, work hard, and khawf. Develop khawf. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam is giving invitation. Every Muslim should make effort every day to develop the fear of Allah in his heart. Subhanallah. And alongside that, in parallel, he gave the solution. Then he said to his companion, that listen to the solution. I will also tell you, Rasulullah said, that khawf of Allah, fear of Allah, how can you develop that in your heart? Subhanallah. So he gave the remedy at the same time. He showed the path crystal clear. First, he gave the answer, that you should have fear of Allah in your heart. Then he explained that how can you create that fear in your heart. He gave the path, read the hadith, the solutions of the same hadith. The sahabi is listening, the companion is listening. What is that tariqah? How do we create fear of Allah in our hearts? How do we develop that? You can't just come for nothing with a yadhkurullaha kulla inda shajara. Subhanallah. Yadhkurullaha inda kulli hajar wa shajar. In other words, that the fear of Allah, to develop it, one action is essential, that every second you should be immersed and consumed with the dhikr of Allah. Just like it's announced, there's a gathering of dhikr. This is a great treasure of Allah in this world. A great, great treasure, great ni'mah. This is the nasiha. We're practicing on the nasiha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doing dhikr. Rasulullah, we're sat here for this reason. We are doing dhikr for this reason. Think what I'm saying. There's only one purpose of doing dhikr. What? That we want to develop Allah's fear in our hearts. And the sign of Allah's fear, ask yourself, that I'm doing dhikr every day, I'm doing dhikr regularly. Rasulullah is saying, do dhikr of Allah. When you do that, then Allah's fear will come in your heart. And due to that, you will have a fear, awareness, that before you do any action, you will think, that should I do this action or not? Will Allah be happy with me or not? If my brothers, whilst you're doing dhikr, the fear of Allah comes in your heart, then Alhamdulillah, Allah announces that such a dhakir who does dhikr in such a way, in whose heart while he's doing dhikr, he does dhikr, and the fear of Allah comes in his heart, and he saves himself from sins. On every footstep of his life, he thinks, Allah, I don't want to displease you. When he sees Allah is unhappy, he thinks it's danger, he leaves the action. The dhakir who has this feeling and developing in his heart while he's doing dhikr, Rasulullah announced that on the day of judgment, when that person rises from his grave, that woman, that man, their face will shine like the moon on the 14th night. Subhanallah. Rather, more than that, said Rasulullah sallam, his face will shine brighter than the moon on the 14th night. Brighter. So this is the path that we have adopted. So we need to think on this. Not just this, I do this many tasbih, I do 10 years, I've done dhikr, 20 years. That three things we learn from this. Nisa, every mu'min needs to develop khawf in his heart. Without fear of Allah, he cannot have a good life. He cannot prepare for the hereafter. Doesn't matter how much Quran you read, doesn't matter what you do. Without fear of Allah, you cannot succeed. You need to make effort. You have to work hard to develop and bring fear of Allah into your heart. And the tariqah are also prescribed. He gave us the effects of the fear of Allah. The effects. He showed us that with the fear of Allah, you should have the physical characteristics in your life that show the fear of Allah is in your heart. How? That Allah and His Rasul, am I living my life according to the instructions? My child, I'm bringing a child up. My wife, relationship, family relationship, job, employment, business, worldly interaction. Am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? This action I'm about to do, is it right or is it wrong? This fear and awareness, when it's developed, this is the fear of Allah. Not. And the tariqah, the method Rasulullah prescribed, dhikrullah. Do so much dhikr, dhikr kathir we need to do. Now dhikrullah, the Rasulullah prescribed in this hadith, a beautiful solution. Listen, now what does dhikr mean? It's not just dhikr and dhikr and dhikr without any understanding. Everything does dhikr in the world. Pick up a tasbih, that's dhikr. Say subhanallah, that's dhikr. Pray salah, that's dhikr. Read Quran, that's dhikr. Everything that we do, ibadah is dhikr. There's no doubt in that. There's no confusion in that. But here, specific point that's being prescribed. Listen carefully what I'm saying. Rasulullah is mentioning that dhikr that develops the fear of Allah in your heart. That's the dhikr that we need to do. That specific dhikr that develops the fear of Allah in your heart. And that when you do that dhikr, this is the subject of tasawwuf, the science of tasawwuf in Islam. Or in other words, you could say tazkiyah. Purification of the heart. So we need to study this subject. We need to adopt this path of the tasawwuf, which is the subject of Islam. We need to follow this path, and so that the khawf of Allah comes down. What is that? That's the dhikr of Allah that we need to learn. So to learn dhikr, obviously, first we'll need to see that we have to look for an ustad, for a teacher. Who shall I go to? Whose sohbat shall I get? Whose company shall I sit in? Because this order, this teaching comes from the Prophet ﷺ via the sahaba to us today, that this action will create the fear of Allah in our hearts. Dhikrullah. So we'll go, we'll seek a sheikh, an ustad, a teacher. When we find him, we'll say, can you teach me dhikr, prescribe me dhikr. You'll sit in his company. You start doing the dhikr, it's prescribed to you. Your islah he will do. He'll reform you, improve you. He'll tell you you're doing this wrong. Just like the ustad guides the students. So this is the action that we need to do. This is the essence of this hadith. After that, keep on assessing yourself, analyzing yourself. Is the fear of Allah coming in my heart? Not just I keep doing tasbih every day. If the sheikh says, do this many tasbih, and that's it, I've done dhikr. No, this is not the end point. This is not the end point. This is not what we're doing it for. We have to do mujahidah all life long, work hard, make effort. That am I attaining that feeling? Not just in 1 hour or 2 days you'll get the fear of Allah. No, you have to work on it continuously. Nafs and shaitan are against us. All the time these enemies of nafs, desires and shaitan will put us off the path. But when you have ustad, the teacher, he will do your islah. He will rectify you. Such bayans and gatherings and talks, and he'll give you dhikr of Allah to do, he'll give you tarbiyah, he'll reform you, improve you, that alhamdulillah, he will continue to take you on the path towards success. Subhanallah. And the person who doesn't understand, he comes sometimes, leaves it, follows it, leaves it. Can he attain his destination? Can he get to the success? This is not the tariqah. 50-50. If you really have the understanding that I need to prepare for death, then preparation for death is daily until the death. Not 4 hours a day, 2 hours a day, the whole life, 80 years, 70 years, 90 years, 100 years, 60 years, whole life Allah has given to us for what? To prepare for death every day. And hours, oh, just 2 hours. Allah didn't say just prepare for death 2 hours and then eat what you want, drink, be merry, enjoy your life. No, all life long the mu'min prepares for the death. So alhamdulillah, Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon this beautiful nasiha. advice and the means to develop khawf, let's adopt them, my brothers. We can't just succeed through words, blanket words, blank words. Put death in front of you every second. Put your resurrection in front of you every second. And this path that Rasulullah prescribed, adopt it, follow it. So Allah Ta'ala's khawf is developed in our hearts. And with fear of Allah, your life will succeed. The basic denominator of a Muslim's life, lazim. Alaykum li is lazim, essential, necessary for a Muslim. Without that, we cannot succeed. So to summarize, what do we understand? Rasulullah gave nasiha, advice to his companion, which is for every mu'min. The first step, which is essential, is that develop fear of Allah in your heart. And the way to develop Allah's fear in the heart is to do dhikr of Allah, that sit with the dhakir, with the teacher. He will prescribe you dhikr, understand the tariqah, how much should I do, how should I do it, what dhikr suits me. All of this is the teaching of the teacher. For this you need a teacher. Seek the teacher, find him, then according to his instruction, prescription, do dhikr. Then after dhikr, analyze yourself and do a sort of feedback. The result is a positive, because you should see that you have the feeling in your heart. You should have caution in your life, every action. Before you do, you think that, am I disobeying Allah and His Rasul? Subhanallah. And as you see that you develop that feeling, keep on being grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I'm washing myself, cleaning myself, and I'm being rectified. That's it. The amount of life Allah has given to you, prepare for the death. The rest of the issues in the world, let them continue. And both things in parallel, you see the barakah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-mursalin. Shafi'il muslimin. Taha wa yaseen al-habib al-amin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa ala Muhammad al-Nabi al-Amin. Yiswajih al-Muhati al-Mu'minin. Wazurriyatihi wa ahli baytihikum. As-salatu wa ala wa al-Rahim wa ala wa al-Ibrahim wa inna qawin al-Majid. Sallim tasliman da'iman abdan kasirun kasira. Ya Allah, humare sare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, tu humare sabhon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, tu hum sagira aur kabira gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, tu hum sab ki bakhshish farma de. Ya Allah, tu hum sab ki bakhshish farma de. Ya Allah, duniya aur aakhirat hamari behtar farma de. Ya Allah, aaj ki jo baatein humne suni hain, unpe amal karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, tu hum par khauf naseeb farma. Ya Allah, taqwa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, taqwa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, mujhne se pehle maut ki taiyari naseeb farma. Ae mere maula, ye raasta hamare aasan farma de. Ya Allah, seedha raasta hum pe aasan farma de. Amal karna hum pe aasan farma de. Hidayat ke raaste tu hamare raaste khol de mere maula. Ya Allah, hamare bimaron ko shifa naseeb farma. Marhoomon ke liye dua farma, Allah Taala sab ki maghfirat farmaye. Hazrat Maulana Rahim Sahab Sunan ke walida ka intiqal hua hai, unke liye dua farmaye. Isi tarah hamare Siraj bhai hain, unki walida ka Hindustan mein intiqal hua, unke liye dua farmaye. Hamare ek halki ki khatoon hai, unke bhanje ka jawan sara bhanja London mein uska intiqal hua, uske liye dua farmaye. Allah Pak ne sab ke darajat ko buland farmaye, jannat ke baagh banaye, unki qabron ko ya Allah hamara jannat ka kushada kare. تمام صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرمائے, اعلیٰ درجات جنت نصیب فرمائے, تمام مرحوم کے اللہ تعالیٰ مغفرت فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.